I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. We want to read Exodus chapter 3, the first 12 verses. I speak to you on the subject of a lesson from the burning bush. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne, Lord, to ask a blessing upon the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding that we might grasp your truth. Speak your truth through me. Remove anything from me that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Lord, I understand my total dependence upon you. This is your message. Lord, I pray that you would preach through me your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The bush served first to get the attention of Moses. The attention of Moses was drawn there because he had not seen this thing before. God uses things to get our attention, amen? He will bring things into our life that are unusual. He'll bring things into our life that sometimes are painful, sometimes are scary, but they get our attention. And it is important that the Lord get our attention. Folks, there's nothing more important in this life than that you get to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Whatever it takes to bring you to that understanding is a good thing. Anything God brings into your life is for the purpose of drawing you closer to Him. Don't let the devil cause you to murmur against God when things don't go the way you think they ought to go, because God just simply wants to get your attention and draw your attention to Him. And that is a good thing. I don't care what it is. It always serves a purpose. Listen to what he says here in verses 1 through 4. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now understand here, he's talking about a man doing his everyday duty. He's just doing his thing. You know, he goes out, he gets the sheep out of the fold, he takes them out to pasture, he stays with them, runs the wolves off all day long, and then he brings them all back, puts them in the fold. That's his job. And so what we have here is a man doing his daily routine, and all of a sudden, something happens. Look at the next verse. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now I want you to see something. Moses is doing his regular thing. Everybody here has something that we do on a regular basis. That's our job. That's what we do. That's our responsibility. And it takes something special to get our attention away from the rut that we're in. And so here, Moses would just have gone out there, probably sat under a shade tree, watched his sheep, run off anything that tried to harm his sheep, and then he would have taken them home, put them in the fold, went to bed. But today's different. Because today, the Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord speaks in strange ways sometimes. He gets our attention in strange ways sometimes. But it's always to draw us to himself. Don't ever forget that. Jesus said he came into the world to seek. And he seeks us all of our life. God does not want us to get so caught up in the things of this life that we forget about him. You know, we come to know the gospel that Jesus came into the world to save us sinners, and we put our trust in him, and we say, okay, that's settled. Now let's go on and conquer the world. And we get busy. Busyness distracts us from the real purpose of us being here. Jesus is still seeking those that he has saved to try to enlist us in doing his service. Moses was sought out by God where he was, and so are we. So many times, we just simply feel like the things that God uses to get our attention are just distractions to us, keeps us from our real purpose. But the truth is, those are the most important things that will ever come into our life because it gives us an opportunity to draw to him. Listen to Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come into this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, Jesus is looking to save all his children, everyone. He does not want any of his creation to perish, not one single one. And he comes seeking. You say, well, what about people who are not in church? What about people who don't hear the gospel? Jesus seeks them too. So many times when Jesus seeks them and when Jesus jars them to get their attention, instead of turning to God, for an answer, they turn to the world and they stay lost. God is trying to draw people to himself through many, many things that happen along the way. It's to get our attention. We as Christians are guilty of the same thing. When things happen, you know, the car breaks down, instead of turning to God, many times we just start trying to figure out how we're going to solve this problem. God wants our attention. God wants us to turn to him. It's not about the car. It's not about the broken things. It's about turning your eyes back to Jesus. And whenever we miss that, we miss a blessing. What if old Moses just said, somebody dropped a cigarette and just kept going? He'd have missed it, wouldn't he? But you see, God got his attention. The difference between Moses and a lot of us is that he was willing to get out of the everyday and look at something new, something different. And God made a difference in his life. Jesus said he also came to save. Acts 10, 1 through 20 says this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send me into Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Notice that God spoke to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. He was a man who was seeking God. God had dealt with Cornelius. God had begun to show Cornelius that he needed a Savior. And Cornelius didn't know where to turn, so he just said, God, whoever you are, wherever you are, show me how to be saved. Every time I read about Cornelius, I'm reminded of a young man that I led to the Lord years ago. And he was a great big ugly boy, and he dwelt among a people that were ugly and mean. And so it was kind of odd that he got saved. But one day, I was about to go to church in the phone room. And he said, Brother Allen, he said, I've got a problem. I said, what's wrong? He said, I've got a whole house full of people over here wanting to know how to get saved, and I don't know how to tell them. I said, I'll be right over. So I went over there, and I walked in, and they've got the room just wall to wall with people. And they were all looking at me. So I started making small talk. So this guy seemed to be the leader. He said, cut the small talk. He said, we called you over here to find out how to get saved. I said, all right. And so I was able to lead them to the Lord right there. God prepares people's hearts. Don't ever miss that. The devil will say, well, you can't just walk up to somebody and ask them if they want to be saved. Yes, you can, because God's already speaking to their heart. See, God came to save people. He goes out of his way to get people's attention, and then he just picks out somebody that knows him and says, go talk to that person. When God says that to you, don't you just say, oh, somebody must have dropped a cigarette, go on about your business. See, that's God speaking to you. Don't miss those times. Those are precious times when God speaks to us. He still speaks to us today. And he'll get our attention. He'll say, you go witness that person. Now, realize there's another end to that conversation. That is, he's already been speaking to that person, and that person's ready, and they need somebody to tell them how to be saved. And God will send you. The devil will tell you you don't know how to lead somebody to Christ. Amen? He'll tell you that. You don't know how to tell somebody. You'll just mess it up. You don't know what to say. But you know what? Jesus told his disciples, he said, if you get called in to speak to the magistrates or somebody, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you what to say. And he will. You see, he's God. Don't ever forget that. God can work in us. He's the only one who can't. We can't do anything. All we can do in the flesh is blow bubbles and kick up dust. And the devil will wear us out with that fact. But you see, we have a God who lives inside us. And he can tell us what to say. He knows what will reach their heart. When I went to speak to those people, I was afraid to speak. And I was making small talk. But you see, I didn't need to do that. Fear is always the wrong attitude to have when you are prompted by God to go and witness to somebody. Sometimes all it takes is a word. You know, God prompts you to witness to somebody. You just ask them, do you have peace in your heart? If you were to die, you'd go to heaven. That's all it takes. Most of the time, when God has prompted me to witness somebody, they'll say, you know, I was just thinking about that. And I think to myself, why do I ever doubt? God knows how to get people's attention. See, God is real. We don't serve a God made out of stone that can't move in people's hearts. We serve a God who visits people where they are, gets their attention, and then sends us to reap where somebody else has sowed. That's the God that we serve. But you see, he also gets our attention to send us. He gets their attention so that he can save them. He gets our attention so he can send us. Listen to this. Acts 26, 12 through 18. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You see, the Lord has promised to protect us. He has promised to give us what we're to say. He is going to fill our minds with the right stuff. Sometimes it's not just to quote scripture. Sometimes you have to say other things that answers their questions. I learned a long time ago, if somebody has an objection to the gospel, no matter how silly it may seem to you, if you don't answer that objection, they won't get saved. You've got to meet them where they are. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? When Philip was caught up and sent down to meet up with his chariot, he didn't know who he was meeting up with. God just said, head that way. And so he took off across the desert, looks up, and behold, here comes the chariot. He runs along beside the chariot, because God said, there's your man right there, go get him. So he trots up beside the chariot, and the guy in the chariot's reading Isaiah. And the Bible says, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except somebody tell me? And so he invited him up into the chariot. And he sat there, and this has always struck in my mind. He started where he was and preached to him Jesus. Jesus is in every page of the Bible in one form or another. And so what we have to do when we talk to somebody about Jesus, we got to figure out where they are. I had one man tell me, he said, I have sinned willfully and there's no hope for me anymore. I couldn't just ignore that and say, oh yeah, you're wrong. I had to deal with that. Once I had dealt with that, the light bulb came on. I mean, you could just see it. He said, you mean I can still get saved? I said, that's exactly what I mean. He said, you mean Jesus would save me even after I have sinned willfully? I said, you've never sinned unwillfully. He said, well, come think of it, I hadn't. I said, Jesus came to save us sinners. He said, I need that. Dropped on his knees right there. But you have to deal with wherever people are. Whatever stands between them and Christ, you have to deal with. And God sends us. I challenge you this morning to pray a prayer. And you say, Lord, I want to be your mouthpiece. I want to go whenever you say go. You stir their hearts up and you point me at them and I'll go and talk for you. I may not know what to say, but you know. And I'll just be the mouthpiece. Will you make that commitment to God? People need the Lord, folks. And sometimes you wouldn't suspect the ones God will send you to. Sometimes they're mean and ugly. And you think, boy, what they need is locked up, not witnessed to. But you see, Jesus can save anybody. And no matter how bad they are, if they'll turn their heart to Christ, he'll save them. It was a particular appointment with Moses. Now look at this. Verses 5 through 10 of our text. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now I want you to know, before you're able to go for God, you have got to have a godly fear of God. You've got to understand that God is the creator of the universe. He holds your life in his hands. Everything that comes into your life comes from God. You've got to know that. If you're just kind of winging it and you're just doing the best you know how to do, you're not going to be a witness for Jesus. You can memorize all the right stuff, but you've got to have a holy respect for the power of Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Notice, he is sending Moses in answer to the prayers of the people. You say, do lost people pray? They absolutely do. I had a man tell me one time that God had told me to witness to him, and I was witnessing to him, and he said, me and my wife got down on our knees by our bed last night, and we said, if there really is a God, send somebody. Tell us how to be saved. We don't want to go to hell. They didn't know the gospel. They didn't know how to be saved. But they wanted to be saved. I'm going to tell you, God will move heaven and earth to get somebody there. When God speaks to your heart, he's already speaking to their heart. You can mark that down. It's a truth. And it's a dangerous thing not to go. You may think it's dangerous to go, but it's dangerous not to go. Ask Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Those are nasty people. They lined their streets with the heads of their victims. He didn't like them. He wanted them to all go to hell. So he went to Joppa instead. Settle that. Through that, I'm not going, guy. God said, oh, yes, you are. Yeah, you go. You're just not going directly. You're going indirectly. And so here he is out there. He's taking a nap. He thinks he's got that settled. If I don't go warn them, they'll all die. They'll all go to hell, get what they deserve. God sent a big storm. And he was just swamping the boat. So all these guys were praying to their gods, and they were doing their incantations and everything else, trying to get the water out of the boat. Jonah's asleep. So they went and woke him up, and they said, wake up, old sleeper. Don't you understand we're drowning here? Call upon your God. Jonah said, I don't need to do that. I know what the problem is. I'm running from God. And God's brought this on you because of me. And he said, well, what are we going to do about that? He said, throw me overboard. Now, Jonah would rather die than obey. A whole lot of people like that. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. I don't care who it hurts. Jonah said, just throw me overboard. And they said, well, I don't think... If your God is able to throw this boat around and swamp this boat, I don't think I want to make him mad. So they started throwing the water out. They're trying everything they could. And finally they said, God, don't lay this to our charge, but we're throwing him over. And so they tossed him over. As soon as it did, the sea was calm. I suspect those men probably changed gods about right then. Jonah goes off in the water. I can see Jonah with his arms crossed, just floating down to the bottom. But the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Here comes the big old fish. He just got him. Jonah's in his belly. And he's sitting in there for 3 days, pouting. Finally, he said, okay, God. Okay, you're right. I'm wrong. I'll go and do what you told me to do. The fish all of a sudden got sick, old Jonah. Threw him up out there on the road. The next chapter starts just like the first chapter. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach. But this time, smelly and all, heads out and goes to Nineveh. When he goes into Nineveh, he just starts preaching, God's going to destroy this place. All you heathens are going to be toast. And the whole city repented. Every one of them. He went and sat down on a hill and pouted because he knew God was going to repent and not destroy Nineveh. Now we can find fault with Jonah. But how many times has the Lord said to you, I want you to go witness to this guy? And you say, I don't think I can do that. Not me, Lord. I send somebody else. That's what Moses said. You send my brother. He talks good. You see, God will bring all kinds of trouble into our life. We'll find ourselves, we may not be riding around in a whale, but we're going to have a whale of a problem when we disobey God. And God will do whatever it takes to bring his children into obedience. Don't ever forget that. And there is a sin unto death. You just keep on putting it off and keep on not doing what God says do. You will meet God one way or the other. The work that God calls us to do is God's work. Don't ever forget that. You can't do anything by yourself. Remember what he's told us in John 15, I am the true vine, my Father's a husbandman. He goes on to say, abide in me, because by yourself you can do nothing. We do not have the ability to do God's work. God has to do his work in us. And all we need be is his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece. He is God. And he can work through you, through me. He preached to Balaam through his donkey. God can use a donkey, he can probably use me, you know. Whenever we go for God, we need to get out of the way. Get our pride out of the way. Get our embarrassment out of the way. Our fear out of the way. And just trust God to do whatever he wants to do through us. And he will do that. It doesn't matter who they are. They can be dangerous people. Mean people. The Holy Spirit can break them down. I've seen it many times. When God does his work through you, the results are his results. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody, but God can save. And he will save. Listen to Colossians 3, 23 through 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Understand, when we go in his name, we are serving the Lord Christ. He is the one who will do the work through us. It's God's work. And it's God's will. Boy, this is important. The will of God is a very powerful thing. Listen to what he says here in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When God wants you to do something for him, when God wants you to speak for him, he is going to put his will in your heart. And when he puts his will in your heart and you have that desire to do it, then you need to understand, we cannot resist that. We are not given that opportunity. When we take that opportunity, we mess up. God wants us to just simply trust him to do his will and his work through us, because all of it comes through God's word. Look at 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We're dealing with that verse in our culture right now. So many people have been inoculated by a false doctrine, a false religion, a false gospel. So now they feel satisfied. I'm good. I don't need God's salvation. I've got my own. People say, me and Jesus got our own thing worked out. Well, if it's not worked out according to the word of God, it's not worked out. You see, Jesus is the only Savior. He will not compete with you to save you. It's either all of Jesus or all of you. There's no mixture. And that's where a whole lot of people are going to miss heaven. The assurance that we need is the same assurance that God gave to Moses there at the burning bush. Listen to what he says in verses 11 and 12. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? That's leaning to his own understanding. You see that? Who am I? I have no credentials. I can't go and speak for you. He's just going to lock me up. They still want me for murder up there. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. The first 400 or 500 times I read this passage, I thought, how is that a guarantee? How is that a sign that he's going to worship on this mountain? But you know, it just occurred to me one day. That's a promise. You're going to go, but you're going to come back. They're not going to put you in jail. They're not going to kill you. They're not going to overcome you, because I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to do what I send you to do. Faithful is he who hath called you, who also will do it. Amen. That's important to understand. Moses, you go down there and you just trust me. I'll take care of the rest. And you're going to get out of there and you're going to come back here and you're going to worship me on this mountain. It's a done deal. Doesn't come before you. You just go. It's the same thing with us. When God sends you to talk to somebody, go. You say, well, who am I? Doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who you have with you. The Lord says, I'm with you. I'll take care of it. And I will speak through you. God is good at that. He'll put words in your mouth that work. He'll give you just the right thing to say to cut through whatever the objection is. Whenever you find yourself looking at somebody and the Lord says, witness to that person, you know God will be with you. Don't let fear rob you of the blessing of speaking for Jesus. You will never be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than when he is speaking through you to somebody else. That's what we're here for. If it were not for that, God would have just taken us home when we got saved. Boom, we're out of here. But instead, he leaves us here and says, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. The objection, Matthew 19, 16 through 22 says this. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. There are objections that people have to the gospel. Somebody said, I'm sure glad that God didn't make me sell everything I have and give it to the poor before I could get saved. If that stands between you and getting saved, it's a thing. Anything that stands between you and absolute dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ is an objection. It could be that you don't believe he's able to keep you saved. It can be that you don't believe he's able to save you all by himself without you changing anything. Whatever the objection is, the devil puts that there to keep you out of heaven. You know, the man that thought he had committed the unpardonable sin, he said, I can't get saved. Who do you think told him that? It was the devil. And whenever somebody is convinced by the devil, it's hard for them to be convicted by the Lord. And you have to deal with their objection, whatever that objection is. And God is able to give you the right words. The object of salvation is the souls of men. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Listen to what he says in Philippians 4, 10 through 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now listen to this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The object is Jesus Christ working in us to rescue the souls of men. That's what we're here for. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. What does he mean by that? That's not a boast on his part. He's saying, Jesus can do anything in anybody, even me. He can do anything in you. You say, well, I'm not qualified. I'm not this. I'm not that. That sounds like Moses, doesn't it? Moses said, But Lord, I stutter. I can't talk good. He said, Moses, who made man's mouth? Don't you think I can fix your mouth if I want to? You see, there is nothing that limits what God can do through us except our unbelief. If we don't believe God can work through us, God can't work through us. But if we trust Him, God can cut through any shortcoming we have. And we have those shortcomings by design, folks. You know why? So that we'll depend on God. The reason we have shortcomings is because in our weakness, Christ's strength is made perfect. And so instead of worrying about your shortcomings, glory in those things, because that's why the power of Christ rests on you. It's because you can't do it on your own, and none of us can. We all depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to see it as an opportunity. Exodus 3:12 says this, and he says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve me upon this mountain. You see, it's a promise that God will be with you. Do you walk with the Lord every day? If you do, you know He can handle anything you come across. Anything that happens, He can handle. If we lean to our own understanding, and we try to do it ourselves, we fail. But it doesn't matter what the outcome is. If Jesus is working in you, you're a success. And it is a wonderful opportunity to see the hand of God work in your life. A lot of people in Jesus' day wanted to see a sign, wanted to see miracles. But you know, some of the greatest signs that I've ever seen, it's when Jesus takes a hard heart and saves a soul. And they change all of a sudden, right before your eyes. And you can tell when the Lord's Holy Spirit has cut through all their objections. You can tell the moment that it happens, all of a sudden the facial expression changes. And then they begin to see their need of a Savior. And then they call out to God. He stands ready to save. This morning, if there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, and you know in your heart if you were to die that you'd go to hell, I want to encourage you to put your trust in Jesus this morning, Him alone. Say, I don't deserve salvation. You're right. But thank God you don't have to. Can't live up to it. You're right, but thank God you don't have to. Nobody deserves heaven but Jesus. Those who put their trust in Jesus receive heaven as a free gift. If you're here and you know in your heart that you're saved, then will you make a commitment not to go door to door knocking on doors and trying to find somebody that's lost? But just make a commitment to be available to the Lord. Just say, Lord, if you want me to witness to somebody, I'm just going to go about my everyday business. If you need to set a bush on fire to get my attention, then you do that. But whenever you have somebody that needs to be witnessed to, you just tell me, and I'll go. Jeremiah. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And his immediate reaction was, and I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. The angel took a coal of fire off the altar and touched his lips. And then the Lord said, will go for us? And whom shall we send? He said, I said, here am I, Lord, send me. God's looking for that commitment from every Christian. He's cleaned us up. He saved us by his grace. We know the power of his salvation. He has saved us, sinners though we are, sealed us for heaven, given us eternal life. We will never come into condemnation. We've already passed from death unto life. We know the power of God. We know the power of the gospel. The Lord says, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? Will you make a commitment this morning? Say, Lord, if you need me, you just let me know. If you don't, you're going to miss a blessing. Because there's still a few people out there who want to know how to get to heaven when they die. The only way they're going to know is for one of us beggars to tell another beggar where to find bread. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.